Scott, there are small things that make a big difference. We learned that in Tipping Point.
We did.
That was your... Okay. I almost feel bad at this point because this is our second go-around, and that was the great...
This was take two, and that was my take.
That was a perfect comment, and then we said, let's erase it, and then I took credit for it.
But it is true. There's
I took credit?
There's imperceptible things that maybe you don't think are important, but they are very important. In fact, they may make all the difference in the world. One of those things that we've found makes all the difference in the world is Tailwind Nutrition.
You've got to have the right nutrition to make things happen. If you want to go long,
you got to have a tailwind behind you. Tailwind Nutrition, ask the coach. We have a coach, Don.
We need a coach, Scott.
Travis Macy, and he's joined us again for another golden nugget.
So, Travis, here's the question, the popular question. How do you get through that low moment in a race?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I think especially as the race gets longer, you can really expect to have those lows. You know, in a short race, a 5K, the low may be more acute as far as just intense pain and how do I hold the pace, and you want to run 100 miles or a couple days or something like that, there's probably going to be a series of these physical and mental lows. And, you know, really a few things come to mind. I think the first one is to plan ahead for having lows. So in other words, when you're preparing mentally through the race, you know, rather than setting a goal like I'm going to hit X time and it's going to be real easy along the way and I'm going to have the perfect race, I would recommend a goal that's more like I'm going to hit X time and the challenges that I will face along the way probably include this and that and a few of these low periods where I'm feeling very low physically and or mentally. So knowing that those are coming and being okay with that, especially at the ultra distance, is so important. So then you get to the point of, okay, you've prepared for a low, you're planning on it, you've thought ahead about it. Now you're in a race and you experience, you know, this low. And, you know, maybe it's mostly mentally as far as feeling low, feeling down, feeling in a fog, feeling negative thoughts, things of that nature. It could also be combined with physically low energy, upset stomach, painful legs, all of those kind of things. And well, how do you deal with it? I think probably in most cases, if you can, taking in some kind of nutrition, some kind of calories, you know, maybe it's something really quick like Tailwind that you digest quickly, that really can make a difference. You know, oftentimes that negative mental state and that fogginess can be related to the brain running out of fuel and the body running out of fuel. So that's a big piece of it is getting in nutrition and getting in hydration and, you know, getting on top of the electrolytes. That's a physical piece. And then we have the mental side as well. And my advice is that when you experience these lows, I think you want to shift to the whys, to really your deep motivators of why are you doing this? You know, why are you, maybe you're trying to win the race, or maybe you're trying to hit your personal record, or maybe you're just trying to beat the cutoffs. Think of those whys. Is it prize money? Is it setting an example for your kids? Is it, you know, deepening your connection with the trail running community? Is it posting your finish on Facebook and letting your friends know about that? You know, those are all legitimate whys. And you want to plan ahead of what these whys are so that when you do hit that low, then you can really pull them out. And you want to have a few special secret whys that you only pull out when it gets really tough. You don't want to be thinking about those at the beginning of the race when it's easy, because some people do that, and usually that means they go out too fast, and then it gets really hard, and then they don't have anything to rely on. So don't pull out those special motivators till it gets really tough, and plan ahead so that you have those in your toolbox.
I like the secret why. Scott, for Christmas, I'm going to get you a couple secret whys.
I need a couple in my fanny pack.
Yeah, yes, you do. Hey, thanks, Travis, once again.
Yeah, no worries, guys.
Go grab some Tailwind Nutrition. Go to tailwindnutrition.com. Go to our partners page. Click on that, and bam, you're at the Tailwind aid station. Fuel up.
Science shows that the health conscious deserve lower rates on life insurance.
That completely makes sense. Don't you think that those who are out there investing in making themselves healthier should live longer, thus require lower premiums on life insurance. Health IQ for years has been doing scientific research that show that those who are health conscious deserve lower rates. And then they've been able to take these A-rated insurance companies and pair them with us.
So what you're telling me, Scott, is a group of trail runners versus a group of donut eaters, the trail runners are going to be in better shape.
And they should be paying less for life insurance. And that's what Health IQ does. If you go to healthiq.com/TRN, you take a short little quiz, and they will give you a Health IQ score.
Ooh, I like that. Do you have health insurance, Scott?
I do. Do you?
I do too, but I don't know if I have enough. So even if I have it, I think it's time to take another look.
And what they will do after you take this quiz is a representative can call you if you'd like, and he can talk to you and find out whether you have the right amount of life insurance. And he can compare. The one thing that I have yet to do, and I need to make a commitment to do this, is I have life insurance through a company, and I need to compare it with what Health IQ has to offer.
It's the beginning of the year. It's a good time to take a close look at the premiums and looking forward.
Go to healthiq.com/TRN.
Some things are just fun to talk about, Scott, and this is one of them.
Hey, I got to tell you, in my must-have gear right now are my Trex titanium bone-conducting headphones.
But you're not the only one that likes them. I mean, people that are trying them are liking them. AJW has a pair. Bethany Patterson just gave a great review on Facebook.
I saw that a lot of Nation members got them for Christmas.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I have been doing a lot of solo runs lately, and I can't tell you how much I like it. I mean, this time of year, there's a lot of people are taking off work, and they're out on the trails, and I run into people. Even today, I ran into probably 5 or 6 different people on the trail, and I was able to say salutations to them while I was listening to my audiobook.
You know, one of the things I like about having these on is just safety. If you're in town and you have to do a road run, I mean, cars are around. It's nice to be open to the environment.
You want to know one of the features that I've really grown to love?
What's that?
Is right on the left headphone.
Right.
There's a little button.
Yep.
And all you do is just reach up, hit that button, stops the playing automatically. So you can say hi to somebody, have a conversation, continue down the trail, hit that button. I don't even have to touch my phone.
So the technology allows the sound to actually move through the bone on your temple instead of through the ear canal. So your ear canal is totally open. And Scott, if you plug your ears, you can feel that bone conduction is really doing the job. It's not that it's making its way around from your temple into your ear canal. I mean, it's going right through the bone.
We want everyone that is a Nation member to get a pair of these. That's why Trex, or Aftershocks, who's the manufacturer of the Trex Titanium, has made a special offer. If you go to our website, trailrunnernation.com, you can either go to the store or you can go to the partners page. There's a link there that you can get 15% off the Trex Titanium. The battery lasts a long time. They don't bounce around.
Right.
They're awesome headphones. Go get yourself a pair.
Ladies and gentlemen of the wide, worldwide ultra-running community, you are listening to nothing less than the greatest Trail Running Nation podcast on earth. It is the Trail Runner Nation podcast.
The problem with the message above is that it flies in the face of what we know to be true.
Yeah, I do own my own bar. every Friday morning on I Run Far, we open up and open up the taps.
You're recording this, aren't you, Freeman?
I get everything.
Why are you doing the aid station bell there, Don?
No, we're just leaving work. We're leaving the store, and we go into the podcast studio, Scott.
Oh, we're in Studio G.
right. Hey, we don't have any guests because it's kind of the holiday season, and
it's December 30th. We're going to be releasing this right before the New Year. Because Don's going to be staying up late editing the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Because we don't edit. This is the time of year where you kind of review your performance for the year.
Oh, okay.
And Don and I decided, you know, let's sit down and let's look at this. I don't know if you're aware of this, Don, but just over 5 years ago, we started Trail Runner Nation.
You're kidding. Five years?
Our first podcast was on November 28th,
wow,
2011.
Now, I would have guessed 3 years, just feels like about three, and I would have felt I was being a little generous with three. But five years,
we've
really?
We've been doing this thing for 5 years.
Holy Toledo.
Do you know how many podcasts we have published?
Well, how many have we not published?
There's only a handful we thought were crappy enough. The rest of them we decided.
No, the reason one didn't get published is because it got deleted as soon as we were done recording it. That was an error.
One of the things we've learned over the 5 years is that we do an audio backup.
Immediately. Immediate backup. So you wanted me to estimate how many? Because I was thinking 3 years, so I'm probably going to be low. But I'm kind of just in the sense of, 250-ish?
A little higher. We've done 292 podcasts.
Oh, wow.
292 podcasts. We're just under 300.
Who would have thought, right? I mean, yeah. It's talking about running, one foot in front of the other, and 292. And I think we have more topics now than when we started.
So I just want to throw some kind of interesting facts at you for the lifetime of the 5 years we've been doing podcasts. And then I want to get specific to 2016.
Okay. Now, before you go any further, Scott,
yep.
I mean, I'm having a great time here because I just texted Scott and I said, let's do a podcast, just you and I, and just we can get around the table at Studio G and just talk a little bit. That would be fun, wouldn't it? Because I really do like talking to Scott and I have a lot of fun. And many times we have a guest, so we're really paying attention to that dynamic, but it's going to be fun.
We're looking at each other this time.
Yeah. And I'm smiling because I have no idea what he has in store. I thought we were just going to get together and kind of make something up like we normally do.
Oh, no, no. I prepared for this one, Val.
He shows up with 5 or 6 sheets of stuff, and he says, this is going to be good. So I'm ready.
So over the last 5 years, the 292 podcasts that we've done, which podcast has been downloaded more than any other? And I think you've looked at this before, so you have an idea, but I want to see if you're right.
Well, I am right on this one because I did look at that, and I believe it's the one where Crush Any Race, and it was with
you're correct.
Yeah,
Brian McKenzie.
Right.
And that's a great title, by the way. Crush Every Race from 5K to Ultra with Brian McKenzie. That has been our number one downloaded podcast.
And, you know, Jimmy Dean Freeman taught us something early on, back 5 years ago, I can say now with confidence. He said, guys, it's all about the title. You've got to have a good title. And from
I must not have been listening because I make up the titles and some of them are pretty dumb.
No, they're all good. Scott does all the write-ups on the show notes and he does all the titles. And every time, Scott, that I've put in a title,
I change it.
He's never given me one. And sometimes,
I probably should.
Well, sometimes they even put a good one to see if you just even read them. I don't even think you read them.
So I want to. What do you think the second most downloaded? So I know
I
you
don't
probably
know.
Don't know.
I don't know. But
second most downloaded podcast.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to say it's something with Dr. Phil Maffetone.
Ooh, you are good.
Oh, it is?
It is. It's Phil Maffetone, Eat to Win.
Yeah.
Eat to Win.
He's just so, so good. I think when somebody hears their first one, I'll bet you they go back into the archives and look for some more Phil Maffetone.
Surprisingly enough, number three podcast, Phil Maffetone.
Uh-huh.
How can rhythm improve your efficiency?
That was a fun conversation because when we started that podcast with him, he goes, we're going to talk about his book or a recent book. And he goes, you know, I've talked a lot about that book. Can
we
talk about
something
else? We switched
it up, didn't we?
Yeah. Can we? And this is when we call him. So we have zero prep at this point when he says, let's just change it up.
He's sick and tired of talking about his book. Let's just talk about rhythm.
Yeah. And so he said, maybe we could talk about wine or music. and we kind of spurred off. We didn't know it was going to be rhythm, Scott, until we got into the podcast. And we talked about the rhythm of and the sounds of nature around us and the rhythm of the birds and the rhythm of our feet, the rhythm of our breathing. And then we talked about rhythm of training and just the flow of life and rhythm and how it connects. And that was a fun, fun topic.
Yeah.
Will you put these in the show notes, Scott?
Oh, my gosh. Thanks for volunteering me for that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to run through the top 10 downloaded podcasts of all time for TRN over the last 5 years.
Do I get to make a comment on each one of them? Or you want me to just say
I will. I will. Yeah, let's do that. So Crush Every Race from 5K to Ultra with Brian McKenzie.
And that was fun because he does a lot of CrossFit stuff and talking about how the body needs just to be a well-oiled machine from top to bottom. Just not running, but you just need to be in shape. And I like that podcast.
So Eat to Win, Phil Maffetone. Mm-hmm. Again, Dr. Phil Maffetone with How Can Rhythm Improve Your Efficiency? Number four, Turning Traditional 100-Mile Training on Its Head.
Okay, that's another one. That had Seth on that, correct? And he came in and talked about not running as many miles. And he had Monica on there, who had just done a 100-mile run and hadn't run much more than, what, 8 miles at a shot or 15?
I can't remember. It's been a while ago.
And I think that's one of the things that inspired me to really think maybe 100 miles a week isn't really necessary. I'll bet you I could back off a little bit because I made that change after that podcast.
Well, and it kind of dovetails on Brian McKenzie's CrossFit type philosophy,
mm-hmm.
where you need to be in the gym and you need to be working on correct movement patterns,
right.
and correct stability muscles. And if you do that really well, you become a more efficient runner and you can run further and run longer.
You know, this is a good exercise for us, Scott, because if those are the most downloaded, we should have been doing this all the time.
We should.
We should try to figure out what people like to listen to. That would be a good concept.
Okay, number five yeah. is probably one of my favorite titles.
I'm
sure you
early
came
on,
up with this.
Right, early on.
It's Rob Cryer's Beard.
No, that wasn't. I didn't do that.
Rob Cryer's Beard is number five. Rob, great guest.
Right.
Smart dude. Number six. Sally McRae's Digging Deep at Western States.
Well, Sally always has great stories, right? And there's nothing that she enters without putting her full person into it. I mean, whether it is an Instagram post that she's doing or whether it's the year-end review of 2016 with her video series that I see on Facebook right now, or it's just telling a story about a race or a training run, she's engaging and fun to listen to.
The word that I think of when I think of Sally McRae is genuine.
That is true.
She is one of the most genuine people I know.
She does that. Well, her laugh is fantastic, right?
I mean, it's a genuine laugh.
True. And if we could get that as a ringtone, that would be kind of fun. We could give it to Billy Yang or send it out to some
we
of
should have
her people.
We should ask her if we could do a ringtone and just have it download.
We don't have to ask. I have that audio on here, to a ringtone maker.
I think we better. She could sue us. Okay, so sixth is Sally McRae.
Yeah.
Number seven, Hal Kerner's Field Guide to Ultra Running.
Well, that's a great book. And so we reviewed his book that just has essential information in it about trail running, things you'd want to ask Hal. Like, Hal, how do you do it? I mean, he's been so successful. So that was a cool book, picture, cool concept.
That's a book that you need to have in your library and read.
Mm-hmm.
Number eight is one that happened this year that was one of my favorites, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more, but I want to get your thoughts just...
Initial thoughts. Okay.
Impact Moderating Behavior with Dr. Mark Cucuzzella.
Oh, that's where he introduces us to the Coach's Eye app.
That's right.
Yeah. And you know what? Anything with Dr. Cucuzzella is just brilliant and gold. I've learned a lot
from
him.
I have some more data.
Okay.
So hold on to that thought. Okay, so that's number eight. Number 10 is...
Wait, number nine. Yeah.
Sorry, I skipped one. Number nine is 10 Ways You Can Become Mentally Tough with Duncan Simpson.
Ooh.
That was an awesome podcast.
Yeah. Now, we're not patting ourselves on the back too much by saying awesome podcast.
No. The guest. The content.
Right. Had nothing to do with
all
us.
We did was push the record button.
Yeah. In fact, it was probably would have been better without us on the podcast.
Most of them would be. Okay. Number 10, our old friend, Sonny Blende, is on number 10.
We need to get Sunny back on, right?
Well, she's retired
busy.
And she's touring the country and enjoying retirement.
Well,
but she did make a commitment recently that she was going to come back.
Oh,
on.
You've been talking to her?
Yeah.
Oh, good. She doesn't talk to me.
She's one of my heroes. I saw her at when I ran Western States,
mm-hmm.
and anyway, I love her. This one was how has endurance nutrition changed? That's the that rounds out the top 10.
Hmm.
So now,
yes.
Before we get into the top 10 for 2016, I want you to guess who have been our top guests, meaning who has been on more times.
Okay,
you know, kind of like
most appearances.
Kind of like
that would be
Alec Baldwin being in, Saturday Night Live, been there for 10 times, or John Goodwin being on Saturday Night Live. This is those that have been on our podcast the most.
Most appearances.
Most time. And I'm going to eliminate some that are regular co-hosts.
Oh, like AJW.
Like AJW, he doesn't count.
Yeah.
Sally McRae.
Doesn't count.
Doesn't count. Okay. So.
What about Jimmy Dean? Are you going to keep him in this, or are you going to rule him out?
No,
as
no,
host?
No. He's an executive producer. He's SoCal correspondent. So he doesn't count either. Right. He's been on a ton of times. Yes. In fact, I actually looked. I think he's been on 19 times.
Whoa! And he's due again.
He is.
I mean, we have had some
after the first of the year
near misses.
Yep. He's been running a lot. He's in good shape.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I saw a picture the other day of him, and it was he was running.
Yes.
And he had on some shorter shorts, and his quads were ripped.
Yeah,
man.
He's in good shape.
He's in good shape.
You know who you see running a lot on Facebook lately? A lot. I mean, it's
Let me guess.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
I don't know.
Dominic and Katie DeSplinter.
Oh, that's what they
Grossman.
Do.
Grossman, yeah. Just great pictures.
I think all they do is they go out and run and try to find beautiful scenery, and that's all they think about the entire run is, hey, how do we frame this shot?
Do you think they have a green screen or something going on where
in their bedroom?
I don't know. Maybe they're on a treadmill and they're doing it at home. Maybe
they have Photoshop and they're just superimposing themselves in someone else's background.
Hey, that's the only way to explain Dominic's mustache. That can't be real.
He's Photoshopping his own facial hair.
Yeah, he found a mustache and then he blew it up like 2.5 times.
And it changes daily, so it must be something with Photoshop.
I think it's squirrel nut butter that he puts on there for anti-chafing. He waxes that.
We need to talk to him about that. That would be cool.
Dominic, give us a call. We got to get him back on. He's a very talented runner. Fun to talk to.
And they're married now.
Yes.
They tied the knot. Okay, so top guests, meaning who has appeared on the most number of podcasts? Who's the number one?
Mark Cucuzzella.
Mark Cucuzzella is absolutely right. You want to guess how many times he's been on?
Well, heck, no. I don't need. I'd say, what if I said 8?
You'd be low.
Okay.
14 times.
Nice.
Dr. Mark Cucuzzella has been on. I don't have a list of those in front of me, but he, every time he comes, I learn something. When Don and I first started throwing out the idea of doing this podcast, we thought, you know what? We are so lucky because we've learned a ton of things by talking to very smart people on this podcast. And he is one that I have to put up there as one of the smartest guys out there. I learn something every time he's been on.
So you brought that up. You said we started the podcast because we felt lucky that we had people around mm-hmm. us in our ears, because we live in the Auburn community here in mm-hmm. California. At the footsteps of States Finish, if you will, with a lot of ultra running community, a generation on either side of us, right, that have been running, and we felt lucky enough to get information from them. But as we found out with this podcast, we're now the size of the globe with information coming in from all kinds of places, and not just in our local community. So it's been fun to reach out and rub shoulders with runners everywhere.
And 292 podcasts into this, we're finding that there's still stuff that we don't know and still stuff that we can learn.
Did you expect to know everything by 292, Scott?
I thought we'd know everything in 5.
Yeah, well.
And that's the problem. That's why I become a better runner, is because there's so much stuff out there. At the end of the podcast, what I want you to do, and you can start thinking about this, what are 3 things that you have changed to make you a better runner that you've learned from the podcast?
Okay.
The top 3 things that you have learned, okay?
All right.
All right, so Dr. Mark Cucuzzella
mm-hmm.
is the number one. Who's the number 2?
Let's go Phil Maffetone.
Nope, it is not Phil Maffetone. It is our favorite sock doc, Stephen Ganjimi.
Nice.
He's been on 11 times.
Okay, well. And
he's overdue.
Well overdue.
He's out there like climbing trees and lifting logs and pushing over boulders and stuff. We need to find a schedule that we can get him on again, because he's another guy that a lot of times he starts talking and I probably get a third of what he says because he's so smart.
Well, he is an athlete himself. He does endurance activities, so. The stuff that he's
MoveNat is what he's into.
The stuff that he's teaching us helps us, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I have 4 more. More here. The number 3 most podcasts. What individual?
Oh, I'm kind of done guessing, Scott. I'm about out
Phil,
of
Phil Maffetone.
Oh, okay.
Phil
Maffetone. My earlier
he's
guess.
Been on 7 times.
Nice.
He ties with our favorite nutritionist, Sonny Blende's been on 7 times. And then number 6, this is going to surprise you, I think. It surprised me.
Okay.
Ann Trason has been on 6 times.
Nice.
Can you believe that, that we had her open up and invite her, ourselves to talk to her six different times? That's amazing to me.
It's amazing that we were bold enough to ask her.
And she accepted. That's a crazy thing.
Yeah.
And rounding out our top one, two, three, four, five, six, rounding up our top six most podcasts is Matt Fitzgerald.
Oh, yeah. And he's coming up. He has a new book out, and so we're going to be talking to him. That's going to be
good. He also is one of those guys that has done so much research when he goes and writes one of these books. He has studies after studies after studies, and I always learn something when Matt comes on.
Well, you know, he drops names and citations like Mark Cucuzella or the Sock Doc or Phil Maffetone or, you know, Matt Fitzgerald's in that same company, where you bring up a topic and they go, well, that study by such and such, and he goes through the details. Unlike you, Scott, who
make stuff up.
When you go to reference some study, all of a sudden there are monkeys on a trampoline versus, you know, runners on treadmills. I mean, get us at least close, would you?
I think that I'm making my point. I may not be referencing clearly the citation. But I'm making a good point.
Are you thinking
I don't make stuff up.
I just
alter it.
We would follow a little better with your tale than the actual abstract out of the journal itself.
You know, don't let facts get in the way of a good story is what I learned from you.
Yeah, I learned from that from Rick Nelson.
Okay, so now what I wanted to do is let's take a year in review. This is end of 2016. We have done... to date, this will be our 52nd podcast, which makes what else is in happens 52 times in a year?
A card. You have 52 cards.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
That correlation?
No, there's 52 weeks. We have done a podcast a week this year, which is, I think, pretty remarkable that our schedule synced up enough to do that. But we've done 51 podcasts. This is number 52, just to round out the year. The top podcast of the year, most downloaded podcast of the year.
And it
is in the top 10 of all time.
Oh.
So you can reference back to the top 10.
Help me out.
It is Impact Moderating Behavior with Mark Cucuzella. That was our top podcast downloaded this year.
We need to send him a message to tell him that.
Yep. And another one that is in the top 10 of this year that also is in top 10 of all time is 10 Ways You Can Become Mentally Tough with Dr. Duncan Simpson. We need to get him back on too.
You know who I really, you know the podcast that I really like? You don't mind if I interrupt your flow here, Scott? Well, the flow.
That was a good podcast.
That was fun.
We're going to reference that here in a minute. We're going to talk about flow.
Was Lanny Basham, right? This was a couple years back, but it talked about just the psychology of competition. And I listened to his book because I like to do that when I'm running. And it was just, I learned a lot from it. It was valuable. How to take the experience and draw goodness out of it instead of beating yourself up. It's just always learning from what you're doing, not repeating. And he brought good things in about raising kids. And what's the first thing that you ask your child athlete about the game? And, you know, just, he just really built some good behavior and some good questions.
You know, as you're describing that podcast, it just makes me think, man, I need to go re-listen to that. And that's one of the things I've got out of doing some of this research for this podcast is there's some good stuff out there that I have forgotten that I need to go back and review. There's such, we've been very fortunate to have some very smart people on.
And we've given recognition and thanks to that as we meet or talk to people out there. It's pretty, we would have made about what, three podcasts, Scott?
Two and a half. Two and a half.
Yeah. And it's just the guests that are just so, so amazing. The co-hosts and the people that are on a regular basis, but it's been good. Go ahead.
Our number three most downloaded podcast in 2016 is Megan Arbogast's Secret to Running Forever. That was a fun one, wasn't it?
Yeah, did I help you with that title?
The Queen.
Title?
No, it's a pretty lame title. But
No, that's a good one. I think.
Well, I think it's a great one because it has Megan Arbogast's name in it.
Yeah.
But, you know, she is the queen. I mean, she has just been running injury-free and consistent and getting faster almost every year.
I remember that podcast, a good one, Scott.
you know, I bet you she would get a pretty high health IQ score, and she should be paying like a dollar a year for her,
they should
her,
be paying her
life insurance.
Yeah.
So number four, let's see if you can remember who the guest was, because the guest's name is not in this title.
Okay.
Why would you consider an ultra event? That's the number four, the fourth most downloaded
for
podcast this year.
Why would you consider an ultra event?
Do you remember that one?
No.
That was Lee McKinley.
Oh, Lee.
He was preparing for Kona. I think it was his third Ironman Kona.
I remember that podcast very, very well. And what I think we're seeing here is a title that doesn't really, you know, engulf or encase or describe that podcast, Scott. We take issue with you.
I will say this one of all of these podcasts this year, this one you should have remembered. You want to know why? This is the podcast when Lee and I pressured you into signing up for Tahoe 200.
Well,
this is where you finally made the commitment. I think we actually signed you up live, live on the podcast, recorded
best
podcast.
We could, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, number five.
Yes.
This was a fun one. This is another Dr. Maffetone one. Take your shirt off and get some vitamin D.
And I started taking some vitamin D, Scott, since that time.
Did you take your shirt off? Are you taking a supplement?
I'm taking a supplement.
That's not what you're supposed to do, Don. You're supposed to take your shirt off. You're supposed to be Gordy Ainsley and take your shirt off.
Well, and next spring, shirts off.
Okay. I need to
Sun's out.
I need to do some more cross training before I take mine off.
Sun's out, guns out.
Okay, number six, a downloaded podcast. 205.5 reasons to run the Tahoe 200 race report number one. This is our race report. We did a two-part series with you talking about the Tahoe 200. This, I think Donna Nicarda was on this podcast with us.
Because she was working as an aid station worker. Right. And then we brought Candace Burt, the race director, on.
Yep.
And then we had me as a runner. So we kind of just talked about, and you as crew. And so we just talked in a circle about the experience.
That was a fun. That was one of my favorite two-part series because I loved to. I that was just a fun, fun experience watching you go through that. Okay, we have four more. Number seven, healthy eating with Dr. Mark Cucuzella.
Mm-hmm.
I have some stuff to say about this, but what was your impression? Do you think of anything in that podcast that you recall?
That I recall.
That you had to eat healthy, right?
Right. Okay. Yeah. Thanks. Eat healthy. That's good.
I'm gonna remind you of some things as we get into the next part of this.
As you bring up a bullet point or two, I'm sure I'll remember it well.
Number eight, running for happiness and health with Jason Fitzgerald.
Yeah, Jason, he's written a book, and inside of it are just some real essential components, like the 10% rule. I remember we talked about that. And just motivation and form, just good stuff.
And that you should enjoy running. It shouldn't be a painful drudge.
If remember that show, Scott, where Mowgli.
It's called Jungle Book.
Jungle Book. and remember Baloo, the bear, yeah. Right? And he's floating on his back, and Mowgli is on him, and he says, something, if you're doing that, you're working too hard.
Yeah.
Remember that? I forget the line. But
there's a song about it.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll close with it. I say that and sometimes don't do it. But I think about that, about running. You know, if you're out there on the long distance stuff, if it's hard, if you're hurting, you're just working too hard.
Yeah.
You got to back off a little bit.
The ninth most downloaded podcast.
you don't have a retort
to
that.
I'm moving on.
Okay.
the ninth most downloaded podcast. This was, you know, sometimes we focus in on one aspect of running,
mm-hmm.
and it's maybe one side of the story. And I think we had some listeners that said, you know what, you guys are always talking about this low carb, low sugar, paleo type primitive eating,
right?
And that's not what all runners do.
Yeah.
And so we got Sage Cannaday on.
Well, that's a good idea.
And he talked about his high carb diet that he uses. That was the ninth most downloaded podcast in 2016.
Hmm.
And to round out the top 10, Don't Give a Voice to Your Suffering with Gary Robbins,
mm-hmm.
our favorite Canadian.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, that podcast started out, we were just talking. We had almost zero direction, and it turned into just a great dialogue and conversation. We need to get him back on.
Yeah.
He has a beard, too.
Yeah, he's a Canadian beard.
So let's do Gary.
It grows the other direction.
Gary Robbins' beard. That's called an ingrown hair, Scott.
Okay. We need to get Gary and Rob some Harry's razors. Oh, do you think they'd use them?
No.
Probably shave their legs or something. All right, so
that was Scott Ward that said that, guys, not me.
So I went through and I looked at a list of all of the podcasts that we did this year, and I kind of made some notes of things that some of the podcasts that stood out to me personally.
Yep.
And I made some notes of things that I learned that I have tried to incorporate into my lifestyle.
Okay, let's go through them.
So, and some of them are funny. The first one.
Well, you tell us which ones are funny before we.
If you laugh, then it was funny.
Yeah,
if it wasn't, it was serious.
Humor happens on its own, Scott.
So the first one is this podcast by Gary Robbins, and he taught us a saying that I've never heard before.
What is it?
Scraping.
Yeah.
Do you remember what scraping is?
Dropping a runner.
Scraping. I love that.
You're taking a guy out so a little too hard, a little too fast, and dropping him, breaking him, scraping him.
So that's the thing that I learned from Gary Robbins.
And I think he said that term came from Barclays Marathons, and that's where it came from, originated.
I believe he said that. I can't remember. We'll have to go back and listen. So we did a podcast back just not too long ago in November with Joe Juhan called Marble in the Groove. He's a contributor, regular contributor to Ultra Running Magazine. He's an author.
I Run Far, too.
Oh, You Run Far, yep.
He's a physical therapist and a lot of knowledge and great results.
So two things. One thing he reminded me of that, and as I was going through here and kind of thinking, it reminded me again that I need to start doing these things. But he talked about the 100 up. Do you remember what the 100 up is?
Tell me.
That's where you stand in a stationary spot and you balance on one foot and you do a running motion, bring the next leg up, knee high, hip high, knee to the hip high, and you balance and you hold it for a minute, and then you go to the next foot. You probably should go back and look at that podcast, and there's a video attached in the podcast description.
Did you do that in the notes? The show notes?
There's two separate videos, one of Joe doing it, and then there's another one of some other runner doing it.
You know, if any of you are ever read the notes, would you send Scott a message on Twitter?
Let us know that I'm not wasting my time, please.
He tells me, he goes, you know, I think I'm the only one that reads these notes. I go, oh, no, Scott. I read the notes.
You do not.
I read the title.
You leave the title.
I like that title. Did I come up with the title, Marble in the Groove?
No. Joe came up with that.
Oh, okay.
He wrote an article about it.
So we plagiarized his article. How much plagiarizing are you doing on these titles?
90%. 90%.
Okay.
One of the other things that he mentioned in this podcast that I thought was very simple and maybe could become a mantra of someone out there.
I'm ready.
It is presence, patience, and flow. Presence, be present. Don't be thinking
be
about
mindful.
Be mindful. Do like you've been always saying for the last 5 years. You know, you're looking at that instrument panel and trying to make sure that those instruments, each dial is where it needs to be. So be present in what you're doing. Be patient. Don't rush it. And then flow. Try to search for that flow, which is the podcast that we just did here in December.
Let's talk about patience, if you don't mind.
Sure.
You know, I think it's such an important thing. Patience from out of the gate, you know, if you're on a training run or a race, and you can, like with running, it branches to every aspect of your life, right? But the patience of not overextending yourself, of allowing your body just to ease into the day and not push too hard at any one point. I think that's discipline.
And I don't know if you came up with this or maybe somebody that mentored you, but one of the themes that we've had here at Trail Runner Nation is think about when you're going out on a race and think about not starting out too fast and think, would I be happy running this pace at the end of the race?
You know where that came from? I was at AC right at the beginning of the run and AC 100 down in Southern California, and it goes up in the beginning, and a gentleman ahead of me had said, you know, Most of these people that are trying to pass us right now will be lucky if they ever finish this race going the speed we're going right now. And that was a lot of wisdom. And then I said, on your left. I didn't say that.
Move over, old man. Okay. So one of the other ones is one of the top 10 downloaded ones for this year, and that was the Phil Maffetone, Take Your Shirt Off and Get Some Vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about on that podcast again the MAF test, the MAF test. Do you remember what that is?
Yeah, it's 180 minus.
No, that's not the test. That's to find out what your
okay.
Your
I know the test.
Yeah,
I know
what's
the
test.
So you can take a track or a familiar run that you can do and go out and be consistent. You're at the same time of the day, use the same shoes, the same clothes, and you go out there and you run it at a certain heart rate.
And what is that heart rate?
180 minus your age.
Yep, that's your threshold.
With a couple items
that
you might be able to manipulate if you go read the process. But you make the run in the same amount of time.
No, you do the same heart rate,
right.
Same distance.
Right.
And then you keep track of the time. And if you're doing this right, if you're training right and you're building your base right, your time should decrease over time. And as a matter of fact, Don Freeman.
Yeah, are you doing it?
To prove to you that I learned from this podcast, this morning I did my baseline.
Oh, good.
I am going to, every month, I'm going to go out and I'm going to run the same section at that same heart rate. I got my heart rate and I set my watch, which I never do. I set my heart rate so that it alarms mm-hmm. if I go over a certain heart rate. And I went out and did that. So I have set my baseline and I'm going to, every month, I'm going to look and see if my time is decreasing. What Phil Maffetone, it's not a theory, he's proven it, is if you're training right and you're training smart, that time should decrease. And if it's not decreasing, then you need to look at how you're training. So that's what I got out of that.
So the slow down to run faster stuff, that's what we're talking about.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Exactly right. Training on both ends of that black zone that Sally Edwards has taught us, that most people train in that black zone, which is where you're out there and you're working hard.
The black hole.
Trying to feel like you're getting a good workout, and that's the bad place to train. You need to be training above that at a higher heart rate. And what Phil Maffetone suggests, and so does Brad Kearns, is you need to be training at that way below that, really below your aerobic threshold. So, Jason Fitzgerald, we talked about his podcast, Running for Happiness and Health. Two things that I got out of his was the discussion we talked about discipline versus motivation. How are they different, and what is one better than the other?
Well, what this is showing me is that we could all probably go back and listen to a podcast over again.
Yeah,
because I don't have that answer at the tip of my tongue. Do you?
I do. What I got out of that is discipline is more long standing. If you have the discipline to go out there every day or every other day, and you have your training plan. Motivation is fleeting. Motivation is, we have New Year's resolutions coming up. You can be motivated to make a New Year's resolution, and it may last a month or two. Those are the ones who sign up for their gym memberships and go for the first 4 weeks and then peter out. And that's the difference between discipline and motivation. So the other thing that Jason taught us is, and I'll see how your memory is, strides. Do you remember what strides were?
Yeah, going out and doing some explosive running movements.
Man, you have a good memory there, Frank Freeman. And what it is basically you take like a minute, and you're out there for your run. You've warmed up and everything, and you slowly increase from your normal pace and ramp it up for like the 20 or 30 seconds until you're running as fast as you can. And you only once you reach that threshold or that top end. You only stay there for 2 or 3 seconds, and then you ramp it down. So you have like this nice bell curve if you're looking at a bell curve.
Well, what's important to remember about that is you want to make sure that you don't go out too hard, too fast, too soon. That's something you want to gradually build up. So if you haven't been doing strides, You don't want to go out there and go to your maximum explosive movement.
People
are going to come in with injuries when that happens.
Yeah. And I think, too, I think we talked about this on the podcast. This isn't something that you do as a beginner or as someone that's getting back into shape after some resting. You need to have a good, strong base before you start introducing strides into your workout.
Absolutely.
One of the funnest and probably one of the most controversial podcasts that we've had this year was Spitting in the Soup, the dope discussion that we had with Mark Johnson.
I missed out of the 292 podcasts. I was absent on that. I had to be away.
You
so
were?
I missed it, yeah.
Oh, that was Lee McKinley came in
right.
And talked with us about that. Mm-hmm. You know what? That was a fascinating discussion. It gave me a much, much different point of view of doping in athletics.
So tell me your point of view before and then your point of view after the podcast.
My point of view before the podcast or before reading his book
right.
was any athlete that dopes is a cheater and should be banned from any type of athletic event for as long as they live and possibly be put on death row.
I had a
very strong opinion about doping before this. And Mark talked about the historical side of doping and kind of put it in perspective of what is performance enhancing and what is not. Is sleeping in a altitude tent
performance enhancing.
So anyway, that I came away with saying, you know what, there's a lot of gray area in this, and we need to be very careful to make snap judgments about people.
One of the items I thought was interesting about that book, although I wasn't on the podcast, it may have been one of the ones that I prepared the most for because I was really interested.
It was a good book.
Yeah.
Very good book. That's a great read. Not only scientific, and but there's a lot of really good stories that he tells in that book.
And one of the items that I saw was about performance-decreasing drugs. As in the past with horses, back in horse racing days, they would slow a horse down intentionally because there were advantages to manipulating the outcome of a race.
Yeah.
And where there's money, there's chaos and corruption.
I think my wife is giving me those drugs to make me slower. One of the other ones that I thought was a great one was the discussion we had with our good friend Victor Ballesteros from Victory Sport Designs, where he talked about pacing, how to be a good pacer. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, you know, and he is a good pacer.
He brought up
a lot of good points. I think most people think they're good pacers even when they're not. I bet you that not good pacers are pretty convinced that they're trying their best.
Yeah, I think that the one thing that I took away from that is I always thought it was okay to run in front or behind a runner.
Mm.
And what he has a very strong opinion about this. He says, no, I always run behind because then I can watch the runner and gauge whether they're tired, whether they're listing, whether they're starting to drag their feet or shuffle. And he says, I can tell a lot about a runner from behind them instead of listening to them breathe.
There are some races that require all pacers to be behind.
Is there?
Yeah. I don't know. I can't remember.
I didn't
but
know that.
There are a number of listeners that are...
Even this podcast, I'm learning things. I didn't know that there were racers that did that. Let's see. Another one that I really enjoyed, it was the one we had Stephanie Howe Violet. When she talks about...
That's Dr. Stephanie Howe.
And here's something. This was one of the podcasts. We decided, I think when we were on a run, we thought, hey, we have this great idea to come up with a podcast series. See if you remember
this. Simple rules.
How many did we do, Don Freeman?
Not enough.
Two. We did two. and this was one of them.
Well, sometimes, you know, you have a vision and... it's in your mind, it's going to play out perfectly. And we just dropped the ball on that one. I like simple rules.
We need to come back and revisit that series of podcasts, Simple Rules.
Well, yes, because I think there are simple rules out there that just guide us to positive outcomes, to successful race finishes. And I think that's what this whole all the content that comes out on Trail Runner Nation are simple rules that are just being distributed, and you grab some that apply to you, and you let others go by that don't.
I'm going to put you on the spot.
Ready.
Do you know how we came up with that?
Yeah, there was a book called Simple Rules.
That is. Do you remember who wrote it? I can't remember, but it was a business book, right? Or it was a life book or something that talked about simple rules that you can live by. And we thought that would be a great podcast series if we did that. And
once again, it's some plagiarism. We didn't really invent that whole premise.
Everything 90% is plagiarized. But a couple of things that she talked about, and I think she was in the middle of writing her thesis or just finished writing her thesis, and she talked about, more specifically to women, but she talked about the appetite hormones. Remember that?
Mm.
There are like 5 or 6 appetite hormones. I need to go listen to that podcast. But she talked about those, and she also talked about palate fatigue. Do you remember that?
I need multiple choice on that one, Scott. I think I need to go back and listen to that podcast.
It just shows there's a lot of gold in these podcasts, and as we're recording, we learn stuff, but it's worth going back to some of these and re-listening to them.
We try to be active listeners, you know, to try to stay engaged in the conversation, but I wonder how much we all really pick up first time through. I think I remember reading some stats on something to that effect, that the first time you read through something, you're going to get X, and the next time, you know, it builds on each trip through.
Yeah.
So, that's it, huh? Just a yeah?
No, I agree with you.
Okay. Just a head nod with a yeah would help me a little bit. Yeah. There you go.
There we go. We had the pleasure of having Jim Walmsley on the podcast. He was on course this year at Western States 100. He was on track to shatter the record.
Yeah, he was shattering all the splits. All but maybe two as he was coming through. Yeah,
just killing it, and made an unfortunate wrong turn, and went and sat on a rock for a while and just kind of thought about life.
Hmm.
But he didn't give up. That's one thing I really liked about Jim, is he said, you know, he could have easily just said, you know, I came here to win. I was on track to win. I made a wrong decision here, and he could have just said, I'm going home. But he sat there for a while and just kind of went, bummer. And then he got up and he finished the race. I love that about Jim Walmsley.
Could you imagine being up front and just hitting every aid station ahead of...
And hearing that, every aid station, I'm sure they're going, holy crap, you're going to break the record.
Yeah. Well, you know, his future is so bright. Yeah. He's young, and it's going to be amazing to watch what transpires.
And he started a new fashion trend.
Back to the crop top.
Yeah. Crop top with the holes.
That was reminiscent of Scott Jurek stuff.
It was.
Yeah.
Again, we talked about simple rules. I made a note here that we need to get back and continue.
Oh, you want to revisit that?
I do.
You don't feel like we've exhausted it with 2 episodes?
No. We could start a separate podcast, just simple rules. Simple rules podcast. No, I don't have enough time for that. Friends don't let friends overtrain. I like that title. I came up with that one.
You did? Who was on it?
It was with Andy Jones-Wilkins, of course, our East Coast correspondent.
No, East Coast executive producer.
He has an EP behind his name.
Yeah.
I have the show notes in front of me.
That was in his contract, by the way.
Yeah. that we had the lawyer write up.
Yeah, we have to ship him 1 can of beer a month. Flat beer. We shake it up a bit.
I think it's Keystone. But in this podcast, we talked about overtraining. We talked about how to recognize it in yourself and your friends and training partners, how to avoid overtraining, and how to come back from it if you have overtrained. And here in the show notes, I put some of the words that we used in here they're kind of fun.
Wait, Scott. Now, you've had a thing about people not reading your show notes. So you're bringing a podcast to read your show notes. I love it.
If
you're not gonna read them, you're gonna listen to my notes.
If after you listen to these 6 words or 6 phrases, you don't want to go listen to this podcast, you're crazy. So here's some of the words we talked about, and I have no idea what they are. Puddle of muck.
Yeah.
I don't know how we reference that, but we did talk about puddle of muck.
I think we could do a podcast on that.
We talked about Eeyore-ish from Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
We talked about Blitzkrieg. We talked about brain housing group. I have no idea what
that's your skull. Your skull.
Okay.
Yeah.
Conditioning. That's not a
funny word. And then we talked about blubber. I don't know what we talked about on that. But anyway, those are some of the words that I put in the show notes that we talked about.
Well, show notes. You know, if we're going to do a word count, Scott, I think show notes is probably leading the group right now. I'm starting to see your 5 or 6 pages of show notes over there.
I'm almost done with page one here.
Would you please, people, go read his dang show notes so we don't have to do this next year.
Back in March, we did a podcast with Matt Lay, Can It Be in Your Head? Can It All Be in Your Head? And what I got out of that one was, have we really reached our mental potential as a race? We talk about, you know, the human race. The 4-minute mile, right. How all of a sudden that was just a barrier that took us for a long time to break that barrier, and then all of a sudden, bam, everybody's running 4-minute miles. Right now, I believe the fastest marathon is like 2:02?
Okay.
2:02? We haven't broken that 2-hour mark, but I think that we're not too far. Dr. Phil Maffetone talks about that he thinks that I think he wrote a book about it.
The book's called 159, Scott.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's right. I have that in my library.
It's on my list of favorite podcasts.
Anyway.
I guess because we have so much to do with show notes, really no time for my favorites. Go ahead, Scott.
No, we do. Oh. Do you have your paper over there?
No, I didn't really come prepared. So all of my favorites are the ones you're talking about so far.
But anyway, that I thought that was an interesting conversation to talk about what our mental capabilities are and have we reached them, and how can we push those mental capabilities.
Another PhD, Matt Lay. Yeah. You know, we have a lot of PhDs. We've got a lot. It's not that you need a PhD to come onto the podcast, but you know, we've had some smart people
with some initials behind their names.
We do. And Matt also writes for Ultra Running Magazine. You can find him there. Yeah.
Yep. Early in the year, way back in February, we talked with Dr. Mark Cucuzella on eating healthy. He was the one who really, we've talked about this a number of times, but he talked about insulin sensitivity. This is where I think this was the first time he talked about where he has one of those insulin kits that he went and bought at Walmart. He told us we should go buy one at Walmart. They're really cheap. And test your insulin after you're done eating to see, you know, are you getting insulin spikes? And he talks about insulin sensitivity, whether we're insulin sensitivity. He also talked about the whole theory that I think people are talking about now because they're getting into New Year's resolutions about trying to lose weight and using these apps that talk about calories in, calories out. If you take in less calories than you're burning, then you should lose weight. And he kind of debunked that myth that it's really not calories in, calories out. It's what type of calories you're bringing in is more important than just counting calories. If you're eating, you know, 3,000 calories of candy bars, that's very different than eating 3,000 calories or 4,000 calories of nutrient-dense foods.
Good stuff.
I think I took some copious notes on that podcast.
What do you do with those notes, Scott?
I put them in the show notes.
Oh.
So if you didn't take notes, you can go to the show notes because no one reads them except for me.
If you don't have time to listen to the podcast, but you really want to get all that's essential from that hour-long podcast.
That's what they are, cliff notes. They're not that good.
These are actually Scott notes.
They're not that good. One of the guys that we've had on the podcast a couple times, probably 4 times this year, is Zach Bitter. And we talked to him when he set the 100-mile U.S. record.
11:40 around a track. 11 hours and 40 minutes. And he's moving at that time.
And one of the things that I learned from him is that it is possible to become fat adapted because he is a fat freaking adapted runner.
4 years fat adapted.
But more importantly, that even though he is fat adapted, even when you're running as a fat adapted runner, you're not just burning fat. You're still burning some sugars, some glycogen in your cells. And so the interesting part of that podcast that I got is when he's running 100 miles around a track and he's super fat adapted and he's burning a very, very high percentage of fat for fuel to do that 100 miles, he still needed to trickle in some carbohydrates during that day.
And that's the cool word, right? That's a cool word.
Trickle in.
Trickle.
you know, and it was 200 to 300 calories per hour. I remember him saying. And some of the benefits for those that haven't listened to those podcasts of Fat Adapted is just not getting sore in the knees and the hips and the areas because you don't have all this additional inflammatory response because you're burning clean fuel. Brad Kearns, go to Primal Endurance Podcast.
Yes.
Right, episode number one with Mark Sessions and Brad. They do a remarkable job in 45 minutes of just selling in a good way why a person wants to be fat adapted.
And speaking of that, one of our first podcasts that we did this year in 2016 was with Brad Kearns.
Hmm.
We brought him into our Studio G, and we talked about going primal. And I think that of all of the people that we've interviewed this year, that was a very educational podcast for me because he talked about fat adaption and how to eat correctly and the combination of eating properly and training properly to become a fat adapted athlete. And just recently, I've really downloaded quite a few of his podcast episodes, Primal Endurance, that are just full of gold.
Yeah, very,
just
very
full
good.
Of gold. I listened to two of them this morning on my run.
Timmy Olson has one. I mean, not a podcast. He's on one of the episodes. I don't know if you've listened to that one.
Well, which one was that?
Maybe the third or fourth one.
What did he talk about?
He talked about nutrition. He talked about moving from a diet that was high in carbohydrates to both Timmy and his girlfriend had made a change, and it helped her in fantastic ways for some health conditions that had been chronic in nature, and boom, changed the diet, and good things happened. So all of that was on the podcast that I, so I'm not speaking out of school.
So that was the year in review, Don Freeman. I went through 52 podcasts.
You listened to all 52 preparation?
No, I didn't. I didn't listen to any of them.
you read the show notes.
No, I didn't even didn't even read those. I went through a list of the podcasts, and I went, I learned something from that one. I learned something from that one. I learned something from that one, and I wrote just notes that I learned. Mm. That's without looking at show notes.
Oh, that's good. That's good. And that was impressive that you come away with bullet points from each one of those.
And I will say one of the honorable mentions that I thought was just – very, I don't know if entertaining is the right word, but the podcast that I missed with you and Sally after she got lost.
Yes.
That was an amazing podcast. I really enjoyed that.
She had just come off the mountain. She was in her running gear. I mean, she hadn't gone anywhere except from end of the run into the studio.
Still we had sat some down. Film of dirt on her.
We sat down and just rehashed her amazing story out there of kind of losing and getting lost out there and relying on her cell phone for some GPS help, and the battery went dead. She's on a cliff. She's hanging on to a branch. Go listen to it.
I think it's that podcast and the one with Gary Robbins. We talked a little bit about his kit that he uses on every run he goes on, with just some basic survival type items. We got to realize that we're out there, even if it's a trail that you've run a whole bunch of times, something bad could happen. Here on the trails that we run regularly, I don't know if you've been paying attention on Facebook and some of the social media, but there's some very large mountain lion tracks out on those trails that we're running. And you need to be prepared for that kind of stuff. And I think that that's something this year that I also took away from the podcast that we did this year.
You know, I didn't have the luxury, Scott, of preparing for the podcast like you did because, you know, I was working today and I texted over like, let's do a podcast, just you and I. There's plenty we could talk about, I'm sure. And then you must have went to work at that point. And
well,
started prepping.
One of the things that you and I regularly talk about is how fortunate we are to have done this podcast, that we have been very fortunate that people want to talk to us, that are
willing
to share with us the knowledge and the experience that they have. And I feel very fortunate to be part of it.
Well, I'm not ready to give the wrap of this show yet, Scott, because you've excluded probably one of the most important, dynamic, and educational podcast episodes of the year.
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah, that
which one?
Well,
I'm pulling out my list.
You don't have to look.
Which one did I miss? Oh, you mean the $100,000 pyramid?
Yes. I love that game show.
You know what? That was fun. I need to go back and listen to last year's.
You should see
if it was any better.
Warren Poole doesn't know what watermelon tastes like last year. That was a kick.
Hey, have you taken the video of him rubbing his inner thighs yet?
No, but I haven't, and I'll get it out there. That'll be my New Year's resolution.
Do you know how to make a meme?
Is it GIF? You go to meme.com or something.
You need to make a GIF or a meme, and we need to post that on social media.
So Warren Poole, we have him on Skype camera. And we had all four people on Skype camera, so we could see it made the game show interesting and a bit more realistic dynamic. And Warren Poole had forgotten that it was a audible program that we were creating. And he stood up on the chair for
the topic he had was places that you can get chafage.
So he's rubbing between his thighs and really, you know,
he's
working it in.
On a chair.
In. Yeah, so all
on
we
a chair rubbing his thighs.
All we can see of Warren are his thighs.
The part that I loved about that, I don't know if you recall this, but you mentioned at some point about him rubbing his thighs and his eyes rolling back into his head.
let me see that list, Scott. Let me, it doesn't take a lot of prep, Scott. And, you know, honestly, this is probably a surprise to no one. Not a lot of prep in our podcasting.
Well, it's because we have nothing to say. All we're doing is talking to smart people.
We just bring a handful of question marks and show up to the party, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So as I look through here and I see this one jumps out at me, and it is the podcast with 2,000-mile Western States Silver Buckle runner Dan Williams.
Oh, yeah.
Great friend introduced to Dan Williams from Lee McKinley, and he's a Bay Area runner, Dan is, and he's completed 22, I think, Western States finishes, full of just love for the trail and passion. And I told my favorite Dan Williams story, and I can't even say his name without thinking of the story, as we were closing in on a very, very long day. And I couldn't wait to get back to an air-conditioned car to ride me back. And he said, man, this is a bummer. And I go, why, Dan? The run's almost over. And I just love the passion he has for the trail. So as I
you know who we need to get on?
Who's that?
Bill Finkbeiner.
Yeah, we've tried and have attempted on a numerous number of times to get that done.
And not because he doesn't want to come on. We just have had scheduling conflicts. That's probably the hardest part of this,
is
producing
scheduling.
This podcast.
Yeah. And who is the most difficult to schedule, Scott?
Sally.
Oh, that's true. I was trying to get you to admit that tough to schedule with.
I don't work full-time.
No, you work full-time. You're out traveling and doing some stuff, so it's hard to get you pinned down. Hey, Scott, here's another one of my favorites, and it is trail running. It's more than just running. It was truly just an organic conversation with AJW and
Travis Macy.
And when you're around guys like that, like on a trail run, conversation happens, and sometimes it goes in fun places. And when you're on a run, how many times have you said or heard, man, you just don't share things like this or talk like this unless you're out on a run? How many times have you heard that?
A lot.
But when we're on this podcast, we've always said it's a trail run with a microphone. It allows us to have those conversations, I think, much like those trail runs.
Well, and one of the things that I have enjoyed about the podcast, too, is waxing philosophic. There's a lot of philosophy of running and how that translates into our personal lives, whether it's work or family or whatever. I enjoy those discussions too.
It is fun just to watch them go in. You never know what kind of direction. And I've got to think that your titles almost write themselves as you're involved in it.
They write themselves when I plagiarize.
There you go.
So in closing, after 5 years and 292 podcasts, I told you to prepare for this. What are three things, the top three things, because there's more than three things. What are the top three things that you have learned from the podcast that you has changed you as a runner?
Right off the top.
Without even thinking about it.
It has to be gait. I just have loved the...
You have.
I just love the discussions about gait. And I just appreciate the body and the mechanics of the body and how efficient and how we were built. Just like we, with Chris McDougall, had talked about back when we started about the body is built to run. And the more you look at it, the more you have to be convinced that it was for running.
And you have really consciously worked on your gait.
I do all the time. Just
you need to coach me.
Scott Warr, I would be happy to coach you and dispense some of that information that we talk about on the podcast out on the trail.
Just bring a stick and you can whack me every time I land on my heel.
That sounds good.
Okay, number two.
Hey, what about you? Do you have three you want to trade for trade?
Yeah,
back
let's
and
trade.
Forth?
Let's okay. trade. So the probably the number one thing starts way, way back with Sonny Blende teaching us about nutrition and how to eat right and diet. You know, the whole idea with fat adaption and insulin sensitivity and the whole calories in, calories out misconception. That's probably the number one thing for me. And in all honesty, I've kind of gone in waves of really doing it well and really not doing it well. And that's probably one of my recommitments for the new year is to really adhere to the principles of that.
Well, you're already committed because...
I am?
Not psychologically, but you've been running hard and you've been working at it and your diet has been strict for a while.
Running hard, but I'm going to jump into my second one if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm running hard, not intensity. My intensity is not high. The second thing that I've learned from this podcast is that we need to train in those periphery zones, you know, where we're really trying to build the mitochondria and we're slowing things down. Our heart rates are lower. You know, the thing that Brad Kearns talks about is that the fast twitch muscles are intertwined with the slow twitch muscles, so that if you're running at those slower paces, you're still building those fast twitch muscles because they're interlinked with each other. So slowing down to become fast is the second thing that I've learned from this podcast.
Scott, I have the option of trading mine in or just staying with my initial list.
What was your initial one? And I'll tell you whether you can trade it in.
Fat adapted running.
We've talked about that a lot.
It was your bullet point. Is maybe that's why you...
Well, expound on a little bit. What about fat adapted running? You have become a fat adapted runner. You know, when you were training for the Tahoe 200, you really trained well for that. And when you were out there running the race, you know, you cannot run 200 miles without being a fat adapted runner.
Yeah, I don't think we can do much of what all of us do without having some fat adaptation because what do we spend out there? 700 calories an hour or whatever we're expending. Depends on how fast you're going, how big you are, and what the hill looks like. And you can only digest, we learned this from Sonny Blende and others, 200 to 300 calories per hour. If that's the most you can put in, we're all fat adapted to some extent. I just love what Zach Bitter's doing and what the rest are talking about is becoming self-sufficient out there, your own aid station as you're out there running.
You know, I was just talking to a nephew over the holidays about this, and he was, you know, this was all new stuff to him. He's a marathoner, and he was just going, really? What? And I said...
Is that the marathon sound?
Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. That's when you get to mile 20. You hit that zone. But his question is what if I'm really lean? Will I run out of fat? And I can't remember who it was, but they said even the leanest Kenyan runner with the lowest fat body percent, has enough fat on them to burn, to run for days.
Okay. So my top or my last, at least, bullet point for the top three things that I've learned from all podcasts since we've started, I've just learned there's a lot of cool people out there. I mean, just people that are willing to share, and it's great to see the community not only physically on the trail and during races, but also virtually. There's a whole touch point there too, that is just it's reaffirming that you know, it's a great group.
And I think that you touched on it. They're willing to share.
What do you have, Scott?
My rounding up my top three that I've learned from this is the whole idea of, running is 90% mental and
10% in your head.
Yeah, whatever that is. the whole mental toughness part. We've talked to Matt Fitzgerald. We've talked to
Lanny Basham,
Dr. Simpson, and there's so much that we don't know about the brain. And that's one of the things that brings me to trail running is, you know, the first 50K that I did, I had no idea that I could do that. And it's physical, but I think there's the mental side that pushes you through till the end. And running those different distances or running a hard race where you just are just down in the dumps, you almost want to quit. And the reassurance I've gotten from the podcast that the brain is super strong and can overcome a lot. I love that part of this sport.
And very protective at times. I mean, it's the central governor. It's controlling your effort. It's probably intimately involved in cramps that you happen to slow you down a bit.
Yeah. Well, I got to say, it's been a fun first 5 years.
Yeah. Oh, so where do you see this going, Scott? Where do you see the podcast going?
Well, we still have to do some simple...
simple rule series.
We still got to talk to a lot of different people out there. Bill Finkbeiner, I'd love to talk to him.
Hmm.
We're having Tim Tweetmeyer on here soon,
yep.
Which is he's an icon in the trail running community.
25 Western States finishes all under 24 hours. You know, five victories, the overall winner. How many people are going to be able to do that with the difficulty of getting into states, right? So he came out on pretty early when you could get in on a regular basis, especially when you're winning, you're in the top 10, right? But who else is going to get a chance to run that thing 25 times?
Yeah.
Nobody. How old would you have to be?
Well, I go back to the genesis, the idea, you know, you and myself and Julie Fingar, I think our good friend Rick Nelson was on a run.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was raining pretty hard one night, and we just started talking about a podcast.
Is this like the monkeys and the trampoline thing?
No, that's...
Okay. So far,
it was
accurate.
Raining.
Yeah,
it was raining, wasn't it?
And we were at a pizza parlor. I think.
It was Mitochondria Monday. We used to do a late night Mito Monday run.
Yeah,
and I think we were between Rattlesnake Bar and Overlook Park.
Don't let facts stand in the way of a good story. Go ahead.
I never thought that we'd be sitting here 5 years later with 92 podcasts, browsing their way around the interweb. You know, we've been very fortunate to have good guests. We have been and continue to be grateful for people that are listening and reaching out to us and saying, hey, we've learned a lot. I'm running my first half marathon because I've been listening to your podcast. I mean, that stuff is the payment that keeps this thing going.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to know that people are actually downloading the thing. And then, you know...
And then listening.
and getting to hear things from Dr. Cucuzella, et cetera. It's just nice to be able to share that.
We've become good friends with Warren and Erica Pohl. How did that work? That is just craziness that we're friends with these people over in England that we would have never met
right.
if it wasn't for Trail Runner Nation.
So we're going to sign up for another year, Scott? Do this for 2017?
At least for another week.
Good. Well, we'll keep it up as long as it stays fun, because that's what we're supposed to do.
And fresh, and where we continue to learn.
So go out and podcast.
Mass.